Welcome to the Child Free Wealth Podcast, hosted by Bree and Dr. J, certified financial planner. Here we discuss life and finances as it relates to being child free. This podcast is for educational and entertainment purposes only. Please consult your advisor before implementing any ideas heard on this podcast.
Hey, Child Free Wealth listeners. So we've been talking about investing. We've been talking about understanding investing before you do it. We've talked about what you should invest in. You know, we talked about stocks, ETFs, bonds, all that fun stuff. Where, which is the accounts like the 401k, the IRAs, the brokerage accounts. And now we're going to talk about how does it impact your investing. So you need to think about your investments and say, look, if I invest in X, will it get me to my goal in the time I need? So I am going to bring back my favorite structure of this, which is quizzing Bree, and see what she comes up with. We'll have fun with this one because we don't really know where this is going. And you should learn by now, if I'm the one leading the discussion, you never know where you'll end up. So Bree, talk to me kind of like about risk and reward and like, should I put everything in the stock market, some of it? How do I decide about that?
It's all going to depend on your individual goals and when you want the money. If you want the money sooner, then easiest example I can think of. If you're going to buy a house in the next 3 to 5 years, you're not going to necessarily want to be dumping that money in the stock market, because if it comes time to buy that house and you need that down payment, that market could be up or it could be down and you might not have that money available. However, if you're looking out like 10, 20, 30, 40 years from now, in general, the standard rule is, or history shows, that the stock market goes up over time. Now, it might be down from the past year in like, let's say it's down in 2023 from what it was in 2022. Okay, but in general, it's up higher than it was back in 2000. So it's going to vary based on when you want the monies. Kind of like general gist.
So let's say I am going to buy that house. What should I invest in?
If you're talking about your down payment, you should be putting your down payment in a high yield savings account, because then you're earning interest on it, but you are not risking not having that down payment for a house.
Okay. So short term, put it in there. How about my emergency fund? What do I invest that in?
High yield savings account. You're going to park it there and let it sit, because you don't want to have the stock market be down when you need that emergency fund.
So by the way, I point those two out because those are common ones of saying, look, I need my money to as a job. Its job is to be there for emergencies or there for down payment. That's it. I've already invested it. Now, how about, you know, as I'm kind of looking through, let's run through some goals and see how this impacts our investing. I'm going to start a business at some point. I don't know when. I don't know, maybe a couple of years, maybe 5 years. I don't know. Like, I just know I want to start a business at some point. Do I still put it in the high yield savings?
If you do not have an emergency fund or money set aside to start this business and money to cover expenses for the first year or so after starting a business, I would put it in the high yield savings account, because you just don't know how a business is going to go.
Okay. We'll come back to starting a business. We're going to do a separate episode on that one. Now, Bree, I know you and I have had this discussion.
Oh, boy.
I have debt. Do I pay that off first or put it in the stock market?
Pay it off.
All of it?
Yep.
So wait. I know we did an episode on student loans just recently. I got to pay off my student loans before I invest in the stock market?
Well, your student loans as of today are probably 6% or higher, and average market return is 7 to 10%, plus you have to pay taxes. So at the end, you're really just, it's a wash. So I would pay off student loans.
I would actually argue that it's not a wash, because you got to figure out risk. So it's 7 to 10% on average in the stock market.
Yeah.
On average, and we never know. And the paying off the debt is a risk-free, tax-free return. Now, by the way, I am sure we're going to get some hate in the comments on that one. But the reality check is I need my money to go towards my goals. If my goal is to retire, my goal is to start a business, my goal is to embrace FIRE, my goal is paying off debt is an investment effectively. You are getting a risk-free, tax-free return. Mm-hmm. Now, Brie, all right, I know. How about I go this way? How about should I pay off my mortgage before I invest?
Well, it's dependent on your goals is, you know, we've had conversations with people who have mortgages who are that are like 2.9, 3.5%. If they would rather have their house paid off, go right ahead. But I know other people who are like, I'm not paying my house off. If your mortgage is, my personal rule is 5% and higher, pay it off. Get going, get that stuff paid off. If it's below that, okay. You might be able to take more of your time. Now, Dr. J and I do have disagreements about debt, but in general, I think these are good rules.
And by the way, there's no 100% rule. Like, you know, if you've been following 100% rules, well, then there's always gray. I think on the house one, financially, the numbers, people go, well, I'm paying off my house. I can write off the interest on my taxes. That is correct, but most people take the standard deduction, so you're not actually taking that deduction. So that's the first thing to remember. Second thing is, if you have an interest rate, I mean, right now mortgage rates, we're in June 2023, are like in the 6s and 7s. Yeah, I'm paying off that mortgage first. Mm-hmm. Because once again, same argument as student loans. Now people go, well, but I might be able to make more in the stock market. You might. You might also make a lot less. We don't know.
Yep.
The hard part of this is when it gets to lower interest rates on the mortgage, it's more of an emotional thing. You know, are you going to lower your expenses and feel better by paying the house off? I'm okay with that. You know, I'm not going to argue that. That being said, once you're out of consumer debt, I'm going to say at least get the match on your 401k. You know, and that's kind of one of those balancing acts. So keep in mind, if you're getting a match for your 401k at work, let's say they match 3%. If you pay 6%, they match half, so they get 3%. That's free money. But only if you're going to be there for as long as that match takes. So if you don't plan on being there to 3 years or whatever it is to get to that, well, then paying off your debt. Now, okay, let's say we've paid off our debt. We're past that because if I go too deep, we'll have a whole separate discussion on debt. So, Brie, how do I find the right balance between stocks, bonds, crypto, whatever else?
It is going to be dependent on how much you understand about the market and the risk and how much you're able to tolerate. Because we've had conversations with people who small dips in the market make them panic. And then we've had other conversations with people who are like, well, if I lose it all tomorrow, oh, well. So there's no one right answer. It's just going to be dependent on what you need. And typically, target date funds, those are funds where you can buy them and they throughout the years will rebalance themselves to be more conservative. So more bonds as you get closer to retirement, as a way to kind of quote unquote protect yourself and protect your retirement. So many people, as they get closer to retirement, are going to say, I want something a little bit more safe because I need to have income and I want to make sure that I have income because I'm no longer going to be working a job. Whereas, you know, somebody who's 25 like me and is going to be working for the next couple decades can typically take on a little bit more risk if you're just looking at the general age.
So there used to be a general rule that your bonds should equal your age. Mm-hmm. And now that gets crazy. So like I'm a 30-year-old, so I'd be like 70% stocks, 30%. I'm like, that's super conservative in my mind. The 60-40 is the classic, you know, balanced saying, hey, you know, I'm taking a little risk, not much. And then get close to retirement, 50-50. I don't know. Those are all like good numbers to start with the discussion, but then it depends on the person. So we're doing book club, and one of our next book is actually The Simple Path to Wealth. And in there he says, okay, the answer is VTSAX and chill, which is I put 100% in the whole U.S. stock market and call it a day. What do you think, Brie?
I don't love only having one specific fund, but if that works for you and you like it, go right ahead. Personally, I'm not comfortable with that. That's one of my things of risk right there, is I don't like the idea of having just one fund.
Well, but I mean, having two funds that buy the same thing underneath ain't going to help you.
I know. I like to have a little bit of everything, primarily stocks at this point, but bonds are okay too. I like the little bit of protection.
So, when I look at clients' portfolios, and we'll kind of dive into this a little bit more when we do book club, I want them to have about 20% international exposure. So there's kind of like a balancing act there on debate. 100% in stocks, I'm okay with, kind of like in general, the concept makes sense. Should you get a little more conservative in your later years? Maybe. Depends on your structure. Like, for example, I have some clients who have a pension. If you have a pension, that's effectively taking the spot of the bonds in some cases. That's your fixed income. So you take more risk on your stocks. That being said, there is a way, they call it margin or leverage ETF, where you can actually borrow money to buy stocks. Yeah, I'm never going to recommend that. Some people will, but I can't take the risk of taking debt to buy stuff like that invest in, like owing more than I started with. Yeah, I can't do it. I just can't. And if you want a planner that's going to help you with that, I'm not the right one. But in theory, if you took margin or you took some big shots, you might get to your goals faster. You might also end up with less money than you started with.
Yeah.
I think the hard part of this is how what you buy impacts your goals is like, it's more gut feel than science. I want to get to my goal as fast as possible. Cool. But if I take too many chances, then I might not get to my goal. Well, that's the problem. And a little bit of bonds can set that off or whatever else it is. I think my general rule is if your investments are keeping you up at night, either one of two things happen. Either you don't understand what you're invested in, or you took on too much risk. And if that means we got to like put more in cash or more in bonds so you can sleep fine, the numbers-wise is not the right answer. But what's the value of you sleeping well?
Exactly.
So here's one of the big ones two of the big ones that I see in the child-free community. One, if you're looking to die with zero, that's a different goal set. So your investing will shift. Two, if you don't really have a goal of retirement, so you're following file more in fire, it's also going to change your goal set, which may also change your investing. It's also going to change which accounts are in, taxes, and all of that. I think the hard part is making sure your investing matches you. Now, let's go back to crypto for a second, because everybody wants to talk about crypto. So I'm pretty deep in the crypto literature and trying to understand it. And one of the things I saw recently, somebody said, hey, and this is a crypto expert, his recommendation was that 1% of your portfolio should be in crypto. If it goes to zero, it doesn't impact you. If it goes to the moon, you make a lot of money. I'm okay with that. But as long as you understand what crypto is, like 1%, and you want to take a gamble on it, I don't care. Seriously, I'm not going to fight you over it. But 1%, if you put 100% of your money into crypto, you're going to have less hair than I do. I mean, and I'm bald. It just kind of, it's all over the place. And then I get people, I need gold. It's an inflation hedge. Well, we'll go back to understand what it is, but how it impacts your financial plan. Gold in the long run has not beat the stock market. So if you're looking for an inflation hedge in gold because you're worried the economy is going to die, well, then you better stock up on ammo and liquor, because that's what you're going to need more importantly. I mean, you can make your investment whatever you want. I think the other part of when I talk about how it impacts your financial plan is investing in you might be a better investment than the stock market. That might mean you going back to school. That might mean you taking a new job. If you haven't caught the podcast episode yet, you need to get to the episode that we did with Heather and Scott, where they talk about investing in Heather so she can actually write a novel and change her life. Financially, I don't know if it's the right answer. Probably not, because the authors either make a lot of money or no money. But it was the better answer for them. You know, so the investments don't only have to be in the stock market. Another one of how it impacts is buying a house. So, Bree, do you plan on buying a house?
We go back and forth on this. I have a hard time with the idea of settling in one place, but we've also both come to the conclusion that we are very particular in what we want, so we will most likely build a house one day.
Yeah, and the reality check is you'll build a house, you won't stay there for through your retirement.
Yeah.
And you know, I think it used to be they considered it one of the pillars of your retirement, you had to have a house. Child-free for people is a choice. My wife and I recently put our house up in the market. It actually sold the day after we put it up. That was great. We're probably by the time that you listen to this, we're going to be renting and probably going to rent for the rest of our life because the mobility is worth it. Now, by the way, we actually made money on selling our house. But still, the house you buy to invest in is not the same house you would buy to live in. Mm-hmm. So if you're saying I'm buying a house as an investment, well, then I better see you buying like a three-door, four-door, you know, something multifamily because that's where the investment is.
Yeah.
Well, no, I'm buying this house because someday the land might go up. No, that's a different thing. You're just justifying it as an investment. But mm-hmm. what happens is we mush like what's our investment, what are our goals, what's our life together, and we can miss our life on the way by.
Yep.
So
exactly.
That house you want to buy, is that because it's an investment or because it's what you want?
No, it's because I want a house on the lake with a pool and a hot tub and tennis court and all this stuff that is very frivolous, but I just like it.
Then it's not part of your investing plan.
Not at all. It is my blow money on a lot of things that I probably don't need but want.
All right. Well, we're talking about housing. Let's talk about the other one that fits in how, which is owning real estate in general, rental properties. Now, this is where I talk about mixing recipes causes you trouble. If you're following the Grant Cardone 10X, you know, I'm going to leverage everything and have a whole lot of debt. You can't mix it with the Dave Ramsey, I got no debt plan. Just kind of, it doesn't work. People go, well, but I could borrow money, other people's money to buy rentals, and then I can have the rental income. That is true. Downside is if we get like a COVID period where people weren't paying their rents, you're on the hook. Downside is that loan is in your name. Downside is you own that debt. And people go, well, but I can leverage my credit. Cool. So then I usually ask them, well, will you take a loan out on your house to put it in the stock market? They go, no. Well, then why would you do it to invest in a rental property? And this is where it gets kind of weird. And some people go, well, you know, do not believe in rentals or real estate. No, I believe in it. I just want you to buy it with cash. Or the other way to do it, you buy a real estate investment trust and let a company manage it for you and just get the real estate income. There's ways to do it without taking out debt. That's the hard part of this.
Yeah. And do you really want to be a landlord? Like, that's another thing too. People easily say, well, I can have a property manager do it. Okay, but you're still going to have to deal with the big problems and write the checks for that. And I don't think everybody thinks about that when they go to buy a real estate investment property.
Well, and if you're going to pay a management company, you might as well just buy a real estate investment trust and you can buy other properties. Mm-hmm. So you can like buy like, you know, a commercial property or a healthcare property or self-storage or real estate, residential. You can buy whatever we want and still be invested and not have to worry about the hot water heater blowing. Yeah, mm-hmm. I've owned rental property. It's a giant pain in the butt. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. It's okay if you want to do that. People buy rentals because they feel like they understand them. And that's okay. Some people do, some people don't. But they're not valuing that risk of that loan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're like, well, housing prices always go up. Not always. They have. Lately, it's pretty crazy. But you don't want to buy at the top of the market and then have the market crash.
Exactly.
You know, I was looking at a real estate affordability index. And don't quote me exactly, but they were looking at the top metros, and something like four of the metros, it was actually still worth it to buy versus rent. In essence, I think that came out in May of 2023. So it might have changed, but the affordability is really not there. Now, rent sucks. Housing prices suck. They're all bad. Like, all housing is messed up. But buying the house is not necessarily going to make it more affordable. And by the way, if you're going to buy it on a 40-year mortgage, I don't even want to talk about it, because that's kind of crazy. You know, I mean, you'll be dead before the place is paid off. But
sure.
I don't know. I mean, the hard part of this is, you know, we're talking about how does the investment impact your financial plan? And before you do that, you have to figure out what your life is and what you want to be when you grow up and what your life plan is and what your financial plan is. Most people are like, I don't know. So they just like dump it in their retirement fund and put it in their day fund. You know what? If you do that, I'm okay with it. Like, seriously, you're just putting it away for the future. Fine. After you paid off your debts. Mm-hmm. People are like, well, you got to pay off the debts first. That credit card 20% interest, that's hurting you. In some cases, up over 30.
Overall, that's terrifying. Student
loans, same thing. I mean, so I think we need to shift the terminology and see that paying off debt is also an investment that helps our plan. Mm-hmm. But it's also a matter about your plan, not somebody else's. If retirement's not your goal, don't make it your goal. Do something else. Invest in you. Invest in your time. Invest in your life. I think that's one of those things where, you know, we have a separate video on ESG, and we go into the discussion on investing, making your value, fitting your values. We also talk about what it means to be a fiduciary and making sure the client's interests are first. Well, I believe your interests are first and you having a life you enjoy, mm-hmm. not always just adding more zeros. So Bree, if you had one set of advice for people on how to make their investment match their goals or their plans, what would it be?
Figure out your goals first. And then from there, you can build on your investing, because it's going to be different for everybody. And don't just listen to your friend or whatever some person on the internet tells you that. Well, I guess we're people on the internet, so that's not always true. But make it match your goals and figure those out first.
We may be people on the internet, but we're not saying buy this, sell that. We're saying match you. So we're trying to give you the things to think about.
Very true. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed the show, please consider leaving a rating or review. We'd love to keep the conversation going. Follow Child Free Wealth on social media or email us at podcast@childfreewealth.com. If you're interested in working together, learn more by visiting our website, www.childfreewealth.com. We'll see you next time.